Hunter?
Huh?
Thank you for your ongoing labor in editing this podcast every week. I really do appreciate it.
Okay. Did you find somebody else to do it for less?
There's an offer on the table. That's all
you're gonna say.
So feel a little threatened.
What if I pay you
feel the pressure.
To edit your podcast?
Welcome to episode 82 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I enjoy phasing in and out of existence at the worst possible times, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I created the phaser.
My name is Joe Walker, host of The Backlog with Joe Walker, which you can find on One More Castle. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Hey, it's Joe Walker,
it's
everybody.
Saturday night! Yeah,
it's the backlog guy.
He's the best.
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't either. Our keener observers may notice that he who shall remain unnamed is not here tonight. And in his place is the talented, the handsome Joe Walker. Joe, can you...
You're making me blush.
Good. I hope you blush till your face bleeds.
Wow.
Can you just take a minute to tell everyone what you're all about?
I'm all about the money, the power, and the respect. But in my spare time, I like to make a YouTube show about cheap and obscure retro games, and it's hosted on onemorecastle.com.
It's really good, too.
Basically makes Joe Walker awesome and must-watch viewing for any retro gamer or human being, for that matter.
I didn't want to say it myself. I didn't want to sound, like, too conceited, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But yes, you are correct.
I didn't want to sound conceited by pointing out how awesome I am, but I do want to
point out
the authority
how awesome
confirms
I am.
Your choice of how awesome I am.
I consider myself probably the world's authority on my own personal greatness.
Wow.
That's appropriate. That's perfect.
Yeah. Totally works for me.
The only other quick business note I will get out of the way is I am getting over a cold. So if I sound a little different, that's why. If you hear a disgusting sniffle a couple times or one violent hacking cough every several minutes, that would be also why. My wife helped me recently realize that my new job is probably making me a little bit more sick than I used to be.
There
more
you
often. So, fun fact.
How is it making you sick? What about it is giving you these horrible diseases?
I'm in contact with a lot more strangers now, very frequently, and many of them are not the healthiest people.
Gotcha.
That is, yeah. Kind of makes
sense. Can you get like a cool like mask or hazmat suit?
What I'm going to do is get a Darth Vader helmet and just conduct my job.
That sounds perfect.
Like that for the rest of my career.
There you go. Done.
Yeah, next step is mastering my force choke.
The thing with the force choke, you don't really need to master it. You just need to get kind of good at it, and you're still going to get the job done.
I feel like that'll almost be like more petrifying, to like feel like a soft pinch at your throat. Like not enough to really constrict your airway, just like a, oh, what, ooh. Are you like squeezing
before
my neck? That's
kind of
weird. Oh, stop. Oh, like,
Bailey, release him.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm totally dying over here.
It's not funny anymore.
So there's that. There's that.
Right.
Yes.
I love talking to you guys.
It's good stuff.
We should do it more often.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we shouldn't have that other guy on here ever again.
Who's the other guy? I can't remember. Is it vote for Jason Lamb? Is that
gosh?
How did you
vote
do that?
Jason Lamb? Is that what we're doing? Hey man, I'm on board. I don't care anymore. Like I'm on board.
Hunter, this is the wrong response to have.
I'm just saying.
To quote a certain Star Wars character, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
If you're going to go for broke, you vote for Jason Lamb.
Pray I don't alter it any further.
Right. I mean, that would... Yes.
Kichu Kikakuta Baka Hachima Bliki.
Hatacha Hachimacha.
That was really good Huttese, actually. Your accent was perfect.
Dewana Wanga.
I was going to say, you need more bass in your voice.
Dewana Wanga.
Wow. It's getting... I know that voice anywhere.
This is the Star Wars podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we're going to do
it. We're totally going to do it.
Starring Max Rebo and the Cantina Band. So have you guys played any old video games lately?
I think our guest should go first.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I am always playing old games, but I'm playing a few that I picked up recently. I finally picked up Kirby's Adventure for the NES.
Oh, what?
Fantastic
never,
game.
Never had that game. Wow. Oh, man.
The jumping animation is really nice.
So tell us about the game, Joe. Ah, the jumping animation's really nice.
Hey, that article was really good. I like that article.
No,
good job.
I got it. I'm just, you know what? I'm gonna wait till last minute.
I've also been playing. That's what I hear. But also I'm playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1.
Excellent, nice. Excellent game.
Great game. Finally was able to just come across a copy of that. So
except for the first
good.
5 minutes.
Not a fan of Richter Belmont.
No, that's fine. I'm not a fan of Alucard coming in and blowing the shit out of everything because you're this massive badass, and then death takes it all away because he's pissed at you.
Well, it's like a Metroid game.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah,
is it, though? I mean, do you start off as this mega badass in Metroid and then lose everything?
Kinda, yeah.
In Metroid Fusion, yeah.
Which ones?
Metroid Fusion.
Oh, I've never played Metroid Fusion.
You gotta play Metroid Fusion.
Bring up my list.
It actually, they just put Game Boy Advance games up on the Wii U Virtual Console today, and that was one of them, so
nice.
Play it on your television.
Yeah, I'm not falling for that cheap trick. I need physical media, Joe. Physical media.
Listen, I'm on your side. I'm not buying it. I've got the cartridge already, and I've got a Game Boy player.
Booyah.
There you go.
So, Joe Walker.
Metroid. Yes, sir.
Do you go by Joe or Walker? What do I call you?
Mr. Joe Walker to you.
Yeah, there you go. But no, I go by Joe, but there's plenty of people that call me Walker, so I answer to anything that is part of my name.
Sounds good, Jack. So the question is Symphony... If there is a better Castlevania game, what is it?
See, I don't know. I kind of break the Castlevania games up into different categories. Like,
do tell.
My favorite of like the traditional Castlevanias is the original one on the NES.
Good choice.
Although I'm becoming a big fan of Super Castlevania 4, spending more time with that.
Also.
But then for like the Metroidvania games, Symphony of the Night is without a doubt the best.
I think that's a fair take. Hunter, would you agree?
I'm a Masters of Darkness fan, so I don't even consider Castlevania a game.
I think the less said about that.
Masters
better.
Of Darkness.
Gosh, what the?
Starring Max Rebo.
Wow. Anyway. Okay, let's talk about me.
Let's talk about you.
Let's talk about me. I have been playing my Review a Great Game Day game. That is the game that I have been playing.
Not going to tell. It's going to be a big reveal.
No, it's Monster in My Pocket.
Oh, nice.
For the NES. Childhood favorite.
So you're the one who picked that.
It's not the best beat 'em up, but I do enjoy the awful ripoffs of the Universal Monsters of Dracula and the Monster. I kind of put it in the same group as Micro Machines, where I love playing games where I feel like I'm a kid again with my toys, but yet I'm not imaginative enough to come up with like elaborate scenes. So it's just me driving around on my coffee table, you know, like, so that really hits
nice,
home
yeah.
for me. And Monster in My Pocket is very set in that same style where you are a monster fighting other monsters, but it's like you're in the kitchen and you jump and kill
yeah.
things on the sink. And stuff like that. Really, I really enjoy stuff like that for one reason or another. So I used to have the little toys, and when I was a kid, I always thought it was cool. Like I felt badass that I'd go to class and I have a little monster in my pocket. Nobody knew. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that really cool. Very cool.
So that's what I've been playing.
I think it's an overlooked gem. I mean, people, even on the word monster in the NES library, all the cool kids like to think, oh, Monster Party, that's the real gem on the NES. You got to play that. I'm like, no, actually, you know.
It's okay.
Konami does a pretty good job with Monster in my pocket.
I mean, it's for a beat-em-up, it's, you know, the mechanics are solid. There's just not a whole lot going on, you know, like all the boss patterns are practically the same and. Well, until you get to...
And when they throw knives at you, you can punch them in midair.
Yeah,
which is
actually... So
that's cool.
I've been on this weird kick of... So I've been watching a lot of the games done quick, or really quick, I think is what it's called.
Good games done quick, or great games
done
quick?
Yeah, good games done
quick,
yeah. Yeah.
Quick yes. games done goodly?
No, I don't think that. Anyway, so it's a speed run where a bunch of people get together and play games to get the fastest time. All the money gets donated, goes to cancer research to abolish that awful disease. And like I'll watch these things, and a lot of the stuff that these gamers use are glitches and tricks that I have only seen in like a tool-assisted speed run. So it all seems completely unhuman to me.
Yeah.
And then when I see guys that are just like, oh, yeah, so if you just click it this way and you go a couple of pixels over and you hit jump, you'll jump right through it. I'm like, what? Like, that's not how that's supposed to work, is it?
I love watching those guys play Nintendo 64 games. Like in Super Mario 64 where they're doing that weird, like, jump and all of a sudden Mario, like, scoots on his butt like 1,000 feet per second through all the walls into the... The Zelda.
It's amazing.
Link's just, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. So I kind of got this thought of, I want to do that, but I kind of want to do, like, awful games done quick. So I was thinking about doing, like, Beetlejuice or... Wow.
Please do Kid Cool. Kid Cool.
Kid Cool was one of them that I had
on
the list.
That would be amazing.
I'm trying to remember what the third one was. I can't remember. Max Bomber, I think, or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called, Max Bomb?
Mighty Bomb Jack?
Mighty Bomb Jack. Wow, I was way off.
I'm glad Joe was here. I would have been like, what are you talking about?
Well, I would have Googled it. We would have took another minute and a half for me to be like, hold on, I'm almost there.
Maximum Bomber Game.
But like, so that's what I want to do. Like, I want to record it. I want to get like a speedrun record on one of the worst games ever created. Not just due to
like
its faults in programming and game mechanics, but just the fact that it's utter crap. I want to be the best at that. That's what I want to do.
I would support your efforts.
So you want to be the best because no one else will try. So you're the best by default.
Right. What's wrong with that? I'm also trying to go for...
Nothing is wrong with that. I am totally behind you, 100%.
I'm also trying for the high score in Pigskin Football. Nobody talks about that game.
I still need to get that. I know you told me about it a million times.
That's
so good.
I was about to say, you say nobody talks about it, but it's come up on this podcast.
I talk
probably.
About it. Come on.
A dozen times.
Come on.
Come on.
What about you, Bailey?
Come on.
You know what? In an act of rebellion, in the minutes before I came up here to start recording the podcast, I played a game that I don't consider retro at all. I played Super Smash Bros. Right. Brawl for a few minutes. So, by a few, I mean like 45.
It's a great game.
Yeah. I love Smash Brothers series. And then earlier this week, I busted out the Super Nintendo and I played me some more Tetris Attack.
Right.
That's kind of been my go-to game lately. And just to see, make sure it wasn't a fluke that I beat it on very hard with no deaths the other day. As I get closer to the reality of maybe recording some gameplay for it. Even if I don't have a capture card or whatever, I'll just point my webcam at it and put it on YouTube. Scan lines and all.
That works.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Tetris Attack and Super Smash Bros. Brawl. It's been my jam lately.
Your two jams?
Yeah, there's two of them, just so you know.
Yeah. Two jams.
Right.
Yeah. Grape and raspberry.
Nice. I think grape is everyone's favorite.
Did you know that there was a thing called apple butter?
Favorite.
That makes me want to vomit.
Yes, and it's amazing. What? Have you tried it?
Apple butter?
Have you tried it?
No, of course I haven't.
It's
tried
not
it.
Like
I'm not gonna
butter
try it.
At all. Go to an orchard, get you some apple butter, put it on a biscuit or some bread, or it's actually really good.
My wife likes it a lot.
Then why do they call it butter if it's not actually
butter?
Why do
they call it peanut butter if it's not actually butter?
Because it's thicker than applesauce. It's like a more intense applesauce.
You know, there's apple jelly.
If you thought applesauce was good. Apple butter.
I mean, it's all right.
It's like, well, that's exactly the point. If nothing is bad and applesauce is all right, apple butter is like, ugh. We do the math. Duh.
I didn't
Last
know. Wait,
processing.
Let me...
Sega.
Which number is that? One.
Done quickly.
One
Game
A.
Game Jam.
One
Duh.
B.
Yeah.
Math.
Absolutely.
Math is hard, Bailey.
It's true. It's, I math don't like it myself. I leave all the math to he who shall remain unnamed. Which I guess now means Joe Walker does all the math on the show.
There you go.
Thanks, Joe.
That's hey, I do math for work, so I can scoot right in.
Get your calculator out.
Really? You do math for work.
TI-85.
That's neat. What a fine young man.
It's like I don't even like go to an office. I just kind of like sit down like in the middle of like the grass and just with the calculator and get paid to do math all day. That's my job, math
that
guy.
Just
awesome.
Your boss comes up and slams a bunch of books and says, Joe, do math! Do math now!
I'm on
There's
it, sir.
More story problems.
It's always word problems. Ugh, those are the worst.
Always.
Where it's like, two trains are heading to Chicago. One's going at 35 miles an hour. The other one's traveling at 45 miles an hour. If Superman came down and blew the shit out of both of them, how soon would they get there? The answer is never.
One of them is driven by Captain Falcon, and Mario is riding a go-kart on top of the other one in the opposite direction. If he's traveling the same speed as the train he's on, and an observer 100 feet away is walking 45 degrees away at 5 miles per hour, what speed will the observer believe that Mario is traveling, and in what direction?
The one thing I couldn't stand about math is I had an awful math teacher in like the 8th grade. I don't even remember what her name was, but
I can't stand that either. I cannot stand that you had an awful math teacher.
I can't. The thing that she always used to do was, is like, especially with like math, like word problems like that, like I would just put the answer and circle it, and she would always put the word what with a question mark. I always showed my work because I couldn't figure it out any other way.
Really?
But it'd be like, okay, the answer is 18. What? And I'm like, and finally, I was like, look, why do you keep putting what on my paper? And she's like, I need units. 18 what? And I'm like, 18 the answer. That's the.
But Hunter, it could be 18 trains, and that would be wrong.
18
Well, yeah, that's what she wanted me to do. It's like, oh, 18 feet or 18 cubic feet or.
She's wanting me to do more work.
Stupid math teacher.
Never enough.
Keep it fire!
Speaking of stupid math teachers, we got a listener email discussion question. Goes like this. Hello to this show. How is this show doing? Long live this show.
Yep.
People give up a lot of things during Lent. Certain foods, TV shows, etc. So my question to you is, if you had to give up a genre of retro gaming permanently, what genre would you ditch? Sports games are not allowed to be used in this scenario. I realize that Lent isn't giving something up permanently, but this question wouldn't be as much fun if it was for only 40 days. Have fun, Dustin at 16-Bit Catholic. P.S. dot dot dot.
Suspense. That means he'll be back.
No, not really.
So I have a question.
That Dustin is a man of mystery.
So usually for Lent, you give up something that you like, right? To make it feel like it's a sacrifice. Is that?
That's one idea.
Okay.
Interpretation, well,
I like meat. So I would think giving up meat would be bad. Well, the reason I ask is it's like, do we have to give up a genre of games that we really enjoy? Or because I could give up puzzle games. Like I play puzzle games. Come on. You know, like that's not a big deal to me. But
yeah,
like if it
columns.
Had to be something I really, really enjoy that realistically I wouldn't want to live without, like I would have to pick the fighter genre.
Okay, well you just gave both answers, so I think you covered it.
Well, my question was, is this a genre that we are abolishing only in retro games, or can we not even play modern games in that genre?
He did say retro gaming.
Because my answer was going to be first-person shooters. Because I was like, I can go without first-person shooters, so that's my life. But if it's only retro, then it's like, well, that's Doom. And I don't want to give up Doom.
Never want to give up Doom.
So I guess I'll say point-and-click adventure, just because I haven't played a lot of them, so I don't really have any attachment to them. And I'm selfish and don't want to give up anything that I like.
There you go.
Okay. Hunter, your question actually makes me reconsider the first thing that came to mind. I was thinking RPGs because I love them, but I don't really have time to invest in them like I used to be able to. So I just thought it'd be kind of easier if I just cut them off from myself completely, kind of eliminate the temptation right altogether. The other thing I thought, though, was why is he taking sports off the table? Would that really be that obvious of a choice for most retro gamers? Like, just take sports games out of the
equation? I mean, I would have picked sports if he wouldn't have taken it off the game.
I would have picked sports.
Oh, okay. I guess so. I'm just dense. Good call, Dustin. But I think we can all agree there's no way we're giving up retro platforms.
No. No. Sadly.
No. No. No.
But let's see, that's what I was saying. Like, I would give up the fighter genre because I really enjoy it, if that's what the whole thought process was.
See, but man, I couldn't give up like
that's
retro
the,
puzzle
that's
games.
The, see, are, that's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, there's...
I see, like, yeah, there has to be some pain to it, like I see, but that's... I'll give up RPGs. There's a lot of pain there. It's a big chunk of my soul just gone up
with it. Yeah. Well, I mean, with fighters, there's nothing more satisfying than beating the shit out of somebody who's standing right next to you. You know, like, I love nothing that. I've always loved that. Like, that's always been that, you know, that last Hadouken right to the face. And you just look at him and you kind of...
I'm going to keep this in mind next time I'm standing next to you.
Puff up a little bit. What, you want to play Primal Rage again? Is that what you want to do?
Now that I remember how to perform special moves, that you have to hold the button, do the movement, then let go of the button, unlike every other fighting game in existence, yes, I would like a rematch in Primal Rage. Thank you very much.
That's why Primal Rage is so cool.
Yeah, it's sure. No, actually, I do like Primal Rage.
I mean, I don't want to give up anything. I don't know about you guys, but...
I don't even know like what my favorite genre would be if I had to give up like my favorite genre, because I love so many games from so many different genres. Like, I mean, platformers, beat 'em ups, like RPGs, fighting games. I love everything, really.
I would give up dating sims.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Dating sims. Is that even a thing? Like, is that even really like a... Like, wouldn't it just be a sim? Just a simulation? Wouldn't that encompass dating sims and construction sims? And
no, there are very specific. Oh, but you're saying the genre as a
right
whole.
I mean, how... That's one of the things I can't stand about genres.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I think the only person who would be pained to give up simulation games would be our friend you-know-who.
Well, and that would be simulation games with taxes.
True.
That is the kicker.
Has anyone given him a copy of Wall Street Kid for the NES?
Without its taxes.
He doesn't have an Nintendo, so for one.
Yeah, it's not like he can play it.
Just... Right, and even if he did, it's physical media, so he doesn't want it. I'm sure
he's
got the ROM.
I think if you...
Jason, if you're listening, I'm shaking my head at you.
I think...
You may not hear it on the podcast, but Joe Walker is fearfully and angrily shaking his head.
Jason. Oh. I think if you mailed him a cartridge, he would break out in hives.
It'd be like the plague. Like Dracula. God, no.
Get the EpiPen. Physical media.
That's what it says. So, like, on the side, he's got to dial it up for, like, you know, retro, disc based, yeah, tapes.
I think I'm going to get a copy of Athena and smear it in peanut butter, put it in a latex glove, and mail it to Jason. This kind of starting to sound like I'm trying to murder him. But
that's exactly
really
what it is. Okay. Great listener discussion question. Thanks, Dustin.
It's an anthrax, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Always a pleasure doing business with such a fine young man.
Yeah, thank you. Super fan, Dustin Faber. We appreciate it. From you.
Get off you crazy.
He's always got some pretty good questions.
I just realized...
What did you just realize?
I just realized that Bailey has my address.
Dude, he's got mine, too. I mean...
The other day, I shipped out 12 more eBay things, and like 6 of them were to Twitter people. And I'm like, if I started a database of all the online personalities whose personal information I could have, like, be pretty valuable to the right people, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'll buy Norm's if you got that.
Send him a bag of poop.
You know what? I did at
once received. Please set on fire, then stamp out with shoe.
I don't think I
love Joe.
No, actually, I'll be honest. I don't have anyone's personal information. I haven't bothered saving any of it. So everyone, you're safe. Don't worry about it. Next package I get from someone, I'll start the database, the secret personal information database. The very next one I get, I'll get right on that.
I'll start my stalkerish murderous kills on you.
So,
murder skills. I love that phrase. I put that on my resume.
So is everyone who buys these NES games from you on eBay now going to get them wrapped in peanut butter and a latex glove?
No, but I do usually put my business card in there.
Right.
It's a nice card.
Yeah, thanks. It's two-sided.
Nice. I don't know, man. Base is loaded. But...
Well, Hunter, that would mean you'd be giving up your pigskin football quest.
Correct. I mean, man, I can count on my one hand how many sports games I enjoy in the retro days and still have five fingers left. Like, come on. Like,
that's a little excessive.
Is it really?
NES hockey games alone, there were three or four good ones. I mean, two really good ones.
All right, you're using words like good and really good.
Yeah, I am. Your point?
You're not using like masterpieces or, you know, on the epitome in the same stage as Legend of Zelda or Super Mario Brothers.
I see the point you're getting at, and it is a really good one. Sports as a genre has a lot of really fun games. I mean, even like Tecmo Bowl, it's a super fun game. But you're right, in terms of a singular, in a vacuum or against all the other video game canon library out there titles, you're right. Yeah, as much as I love ice hockey, it's no Super Mario Brothers 3.
No,
dang.
Super Baseball 2020.
Hunter is dropping some knowledge bombs on us tonight. Insight missiles.
Yeah, I like 2020.
It's okay.
What?
Merely okay. That's what I said. I'm sticking with it.
Good thing I didn't bring that for the showdown.
Yeah, really, man. Gosh. I kind of want to change my pick now.
Walker, did you want to tell Hunter the strategy you were saying we should adopt to try and beat Jason next time he's on the show?
Yes. I was saying that you guys right now are splitting the vote, and you're never going to get anywhere that way. So what you guys need to do is unite and pick the same game and just present a unified front against the tyranny that is Jason Lamb.
I think that would just split the vote even more. I think one of us should just fall on our sword 1 week.
Yeah, Jason does it every week.
Well, Jason picks these like really trendy sounding games, like the Mutant Camels game. Nobody would ever actually in their right mind say that's a good game, but it sounds so cool. Like, oh, Mutant Camels. Blah, 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 blah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. Even if you disagree, to the popular mass hive mind out there, yes, that sounds really cool.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's like zombies, robots, bacon, all these two-syllable words. The brain loves those things, naturally. They have an inherent advantage over other concepts.
Bailey, Hunter, Lamb.
See, Jason has to compensate.
Oh, Jason has to compensate.
What was that going out the window? That was your theory. Listen, I want you guys to succeed.
This has happened before.
I'm part of your Rebel Alliance.
Ooh, no, we fight for the Empire, my friend.
Well, you know what? Hunter used to win all the time, but now it's Jason. So I'm just happy that eventually it'll be me. So, yeah.
No, it'll go back to me sooner or later.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm trying to think. We did that a couple of times. We picked the same game a couple of times, like the Killer Instinct. You guys picked Pokemon that one time. How did those pan out? Because I know I won the Killer Instinct one because it was the arcade version, which is the much superior version to the Super NES, might I add. But like the Pokemon,
much
didn't
superior.
Jason win the Pokemon one? Because he picked Pokemon Red?
You know, we could talk about that. But it's time for a music break.
Music
That was Neither by Venosai. Some thumping electronica, way too upbeat and fast-paced to be labeled mere ambient. It's off the album The Void, and this one's not free, folks. It'll cost you $1. You can download it, though, from the link provided on the podcast episode page on WilmerCastle.com. Speaking of awesome stuff, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is a part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. None of us knows what we've picked yet. We'll have 1 minute each to introduce what game we've chosen. And then we pretty much just spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. 2 episodes ago, the theme was a special guest free-for-all because Jason Lamb was absent that week as well. This means that 2 out of the past 3 weeks he's been absent. Just saying. And the winner was...
Yes.
Scott, our special guest from Classic Leet with Adventure Island.
What?
Beating out the Genesis 6-pack and Tetris 2. What a week. What a week.
Greatest pick ever. My buddy came over and he's like, I got to ask you a question about the Genesis 6-pack. I was like, yeah, go ahead. And he was like, were those games like released individually by themselves? I was like, oh yeah. And he's like, well, then you cheated. I'm like, well, duh. Of course I did. That was the whole point.
That's awesome.
I voted for the 6-pack. I wanted to reward your underhanded tactics.
I actually voted for the 6-pack too. That's a funny thing. Clearly it was the best choice. But
crazy.
But the tradition continues. The special guest always wins. So, and lately it's either been that or Jason. We just can't break the cycle. I don't know what it is. And tonight, obviously, we have Joe Walker as our special guest. He does the Backlog video series, which you can catch on One More Castle, which means he's going to win tonight, too. So I really look forward to losing to Joe. But since Jason, our usual timekeeper, is not... No, seriously, Joe, it's going to be a great pleasure losing to you. Since Jason, our usual timekeeper, is not here, Hunter, whenever you're ready... With a minute on the clock for me, I guess I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
You know what? Screw you guys. I'm going straight for the jugular this week. I'm not holding back. I am picking a classic game that influenced its genre, undoubtedly on a large scale, for generations to come. It's Lode Runner on Commodore 64. One of those games that got released on every home computing and gaming system in existence at the time. It's a side-scrolling puzzle platformer that not only has gameplay that would affect generation of games to come, but was one of the very first games to include a level editor for players to design their own stages. So, it's pretty much awesome. You should play it, and I recommend you enjoy a game of Lode Runner as you climb ladders, dodge enemies, dig trap holes, and collect all the gold. It's Lode Runner on Commodore 64.
What the hell's a trap hole?
It's when you dig a hole that functions as a trap for the oncoming enemies. They fall in it.
Wouldn't that just be a trap or a hole? Maybe one or the other.
See, you're making my point right there.
But see, you can have traps that aren't holes, and you can have holes that aren't traps.
You guys
haven't
even introduced your games yet.
I'm just asking questions.
Must you really?
All right, I'll go next.
Pick on me.
All right.
Can we trust you to time yourself? That's the real question.
You know what? So I'm gonna put the timer right over the screen, you guys. Timer's on.
Okay.
I hate aliens, robots, and bugs. I want to kill them all. And if you're with me, then you can join in the fun with my pick this week. Alien Storm for the Sega Genesis. Released on the only platform worth mentioning in 1990, you play part of a team of special forces known as the Alien Busters that stands between alien world domination and our freedom. Alien Storm is a side-scrolling beat-em-up sci-fi game that, to its purest point in the genre. Sure, it may play a little bit like Golden Axe, but, I mean, who doesn't love Golden Axe? And you get busters in this one to bust up aliens and the like. You know, like Men in Black style. Yeah. It's Alien Storm on the Sega Genesis. I still had 10 seconds to spare.
No, you just used them. Good job.
Oh, nuts. Mr. Joe Walker, you will be going next, unless if you would like me to go for you.
No, I think I got this one.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it, winner.
All right, so for the showdown today, I selected my favorite game for a very misunderstood console. Full of crazy gags, silly music, and more nonsense than you thought could fit onto a compact disc, it's Panic for the Sega CD. A computer virus has taken control of the world's computer systems, and it's up to you to guide young boy Slap and his dog Stick, who've been sucked into the TV through their Sega CD, through multiple levels trying to find the right button that will end the zany chaos. Every wrong button press will result in insanity, such as a lawnmower devouring an entire house, a blow dryer turning into a flamethrower, or Slap growing boobs all over his body. It's got fantastic humor, great music, and top-notch animation. It's worth buying a Sega CD for this game alone, and since you can't vote for Jason, you might as well vote for me. That's Panic for Sega CD.
Oh, man, we're going to lose again.
That's the best slogan ever. Since you can't vote for Jason, you might as well vote for me. It's Panic.
That was actually the first line I wrote of that whole thing.
Of course it was.
You could have picked any game. You could have picked anything. You could have picked Super Turd 64. And still
you could have picked Clue Land.
Oh, whoa. That's below the... Let's not go too far, Hunter. Come on.
Really?
You heard me. Where to begin? This is an interesting trio of games.
Yeah, very, very different games.
Yeah, wow. I mean, mine's a classic, and you two are like obscure weirdos out there, not even like...
Can we start with Lode Runner? Because I'll admit, I know of the game, but I know nothing of the game.
That's kind of how I am, too, so I gotta find some ammunition.
I'm just curious about what the story is, and like that kind of thing.
Oh, it's that game.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That one. The moment you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, it's that one. Yeah, you're a guy trying to get all the gold. Fantastic. But there's these robots trying to kill you. Sucks. So you avoid them. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And it's challenging and fun.
So a game where you run away from robots, that's... I never played that one before.
Well,
yeah.
You run away from robots and toward gold. So there's both. You know, not every game. I mean, there's a lot of run away from robots games, but collect gold too. And climb ladders. But, okay, here's the coolest part. So the ladders are how you traverse levels vertically. But horizontally, there's ropes that you, like, shimmy across too. You can, like, fall onto the... Oh, it's so cool, guys. Like, it's a very exciting, fast-paced... You have to use your brain and your manual dexterity. It's glorious.
I don't know. I liked running towards gold and climbing ladders and grabbing ropes when I was playing Pitfall.
Yeah, so why not in Lode Runner, where there's several times more levels, and you can create your own levels.
How easy is that, though, creating
that's
your
cool.
own levels? Because, like, I have yet to play a game that allows you, that has a level creator that is, like... balls to the wall, crazy, impossible to do.
Oh, well, this one, since it's two-dimensional, it's pretty easy. It's tile-based. You just scroll through until you see the thing you want to put. Then you move your cursor to where you want to put it. Then you use the put button, and you put it there.
Wait.
You can put it anywhere
else
you want.
You have to use the put button?
The next one you want.
None of my controllers have a put button.
I don't think
There's
mine does
put
either.
Button. Do either of you have a Commodore 64?
I'm in the process of purchasing one, yes.
Oh, you'll see the put button when you get it. But if you're on a
That's
different system, like an NES,
hold on, does it really have a put button?
Is he actually Googling it?
Commodore.
Okay.
I think he's using Wikipedia.
64. Last edit by Jason Lamb.
Son of a...
According to Jason Lamb, yes, there is a put button on the C64.
God.
Thanks for nothing, Jason.
I just want to say that according to the chat, thank you, Jonathan, my ammunition... against Lode Runner is that it got a 2.5 out of 5 on NintendoLegend.com.
Really?
That is the NES version, which is definitely inferior to the Commodore 64 version. I very, very intentionally, deliberately picked the Commodore
64
version.
Jonathan, you let me
down. It is much better.
So I just logged on to NintendoLegend.com, which is Mr. Bailey's site there. And luckily for me, my antivirus just caught an exploit Black Hat SEO while logging on to your site.
Oh. I will let my web
Malicious.
Wizard guy know about that. Yikes. Well, I mean, when I go there, there's no such thing. I guess it just hates everybody else. My website only likes its
Well, let's see exactly how different Load Runner is. Oh, no, it's the same game.
No. It's much different. It's
no, really man. Cool. There's bricks and ladders. That is the same game.
Yeah.
So instead of talking about bricks and ladders, let's talk about how great Panic is, because it's
Dude,
pretty great. Like,
Panic is the weirdest game, one, I have ever played, two, ever seen Joe Walker play.
That's true. I did a live stream.
And one of the most interesting things in the live stream, because you've played that game how many times, just off the top of your head?
I couldn't even put a number on it. I've played it quite a
bit. And there's still parts, there's still rooms of the game that you have not experienced.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, the way I play it is like I'll play it and kind of go through it, and then I put it away for like a couple months and kind of like forget about it. And then I'll come back fresh, and it just, it stays funny every time.
See, that sounds like someone's favorite movie, not really a game. It's more of an experience, you know? You just kind of watch it and laugh at it. That's
well, there's... Not a lot of gameplay in Panic.
But you gotta hit all the buttons, and you gotta move the cursor over the buttons. And the way I like to play it is I like to get a group of people together, and we all take turns picking which button. So it takes us one-player game, and like on the back of the box it says one player. I say, no, forget that. I'm making my own rules. This is 20-player. This is 15-player. We all have a good time. It brings people together. Isn't that what video games are about?
I am going to use a quote I heard a different gamer use that I really respect. He once said, there's not a lot of gameplay in Panic.
Oh, wait, that was me.
Well, if you really want to know what's in Panic. But check out episode 11 of The Backlog on onemorecastle.com. All
wow.
About Panic from Sega
he
CD. It's great.
He picked it so he could plug it.
Hey, yes. Man. That's good marketing. I don't know if that's you.
Well, no, I was thinking about picking Symphony of the Night, and I was like, no, that's not really fair. I got to pick something a little, you know, I can't bring out something that.
So, Joe Walker, you are so eager to talk about Panic. Can I ask you some questions about Panic?
Okay. Hit me.
You said it
with questions. There's,
it's about a computer virus.
Yes.
And you said it's one of the most fun, in your opinion, experiences you can have on a disc, right? A compact disc. You said that.
I said, yeah, let me open my script here. I said,
oh, you have
more
a
nonsense
wow.
than you thought could
wow.
fit onto a compact disc.
And it's scripted. Wow. Wow. Okay. So what you're saying is you advocate the distribution of a compact disc with a virus on it.
With a pretend virus on
it. I think that makes you a terrorist.
In today's standards, yes.
I would
listen.
I would keep one eye open tonight. For any drones heading your way.
If
terrorist
Panic for Sega CD makes me a terrorist, then I don't want to be right.
Wow.
Okay, good recovery.
And this is dangerous because like the NSA is listening to this right now, so you guys are going to be putting me in all kinds of hot water.
True. You said that hitting the wrong button can result in such things as lawnmowers that devour your house.
Yes, so, like, you... One of the stages will be, like, in a... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, ahead. By all means. Interrupt my
but
question
no, like,
for your tangent.
Well, I thought the question was done, so...
Eric Bailey's questions are never done.
That's an excellent point.
So please, Bailey, finish your question.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, it'll be a scene where you are in... Where Slap is standing in a backyard next to a lawnmower. And in the middle of the screen is like a little device that has a bunch of buttons on it. And so you push a button, and if it's the right button, you move on to the next stage. If it's the wrong button, something crazy will happen. Like the lawnmower will shoot off on its own and then start just shaving off like the entire screen, like line by line, going back and forth. Or sometimes you'll hit the button and then the lawnmower will start chasing the dog and barking at the dog.
Are you done?
So it's all kinds of madcap adventures. Yes, I'm done.
So, I have a question. Just real quick. So a lot of the game is based on chance, correct?
Yes.
For the most part. You know, clicking the right button, making sure, because there's really no, there's not a whole lot of strategy per se.
Well, it's the kind of game you don't want to pick the right path, because then it's boring.
That's confusing. My next question would be, how do you lose panic?
There are actual, I haven't run into any of them in any of my playthroughs, but there are actual, like, death scenes that will give you a game over, where Slap will die.
At random.
They're not random. Like, if you push start, it brings up, like, a map, and it's, like, a whole, like, pyramid grid of, like, all these different, like, stages, and it tells you, like, where you are in relation to all the other ones, and, like, where it can lead you. You saw the live stream, Hunter.
I know, but this isn't the live stream, man. Like, this is... Did you know that Panic was one of only 12 games in GamePro history to earn a score less than 1.0?
Did you know that GamePro doesn't exist anymore, and yet I do?
I've got GamePro right behind me. How is it even... Just gonna throw that out there. I got issues.
I'm just saying I don't know what Major Mike and Scary Larry are up to anymore. No one cares about them.
Well, I know what Sushi X and Trickman Terry are doing.
Trickman Terry,
your game's weird, Joe.
It's weird. Too weird. That's why I like it.
I'm gonna take that a step further. Your game is inaccessibly weird.
Oh, that's where you are wrong, sir. Anyone. Is able to play Panic.
Anyone is able to play it, but there are only a very few in the minority that will enjoy it.
Well, if I can bring up my show again.
No, please do.
Whenever
Mr. Joe Walker.
Whenever I say, I try to get like an opinion from people like, what is the episode that you've enjoyed the most so far? Everyone always says Panic. And there's GamePro.
Joe, I don't want to burst your fairy tale fantasy bubble. But they're just saying that to be nice.
Well, then I have very considerate viewers.
You do.
And I appreciate that.
So, I think my bigger concern, though, is you seem to frame this conversation as though the results of wrong, quote-unquote wrong, button presses are humorous. Whereas, in my opinion, a lawnmower devouring my house, that's really frightening and sad. That's not anything to laugh at or joke about.
Well, it's not his house.
Oh, that makes it okay. It's somebody else's house. What?
Yeah, he doesn't know.
You're sick. You're a psychotic human being.
It goes back to normal. After you hit the button and it goes like, it does the whole thing, then it just goes
I
right
don't
back
have
to the
a
beginning.
Magic
hit a
button
again.
To repair my house, Joe Walker. I don't live
That's why you need to play Panic and live vicariously. With their milk and bags.
Milk bags. Ugh.
I tell you what, man.
We sell them in smaller quantities. Said you drink it all at one time.
Probably the coolest thing about these old mags is the advertisements. Like one of my favorite was the Mortal Kombat 3, which actually had the cheat code symbols that you type in during the versus screen, like the profile versus screen. Like, man, that stuff was cool. Or maybe this one, the Game Boy Color, made in the shade. It's little Game Boy Colors with sunglasses. Come on. I'm just saying. Oh, you get a free shade, set of shades at participating retailers only. Joe, your game is weird. Bailey, your game just sucks.
It doesn't. It's actually good. So
we haven't talked about Alien Storm at all.
No. Oh, can we, though?
I mean, you want to talk about how amazing it is? Yes, please.
So you said that it was released on the only platform worth mentioning in 1990. I would
Which
say
was the
that
Sega Genesis,
only
correct.
Because the Super Nintendo had not yet released a few more of the blockbuster titles that would make it the only one worth mentioning from years like 91 to 96, where it kind of took the console championship belt back.
So sorry.
The Genesis had maybe a 1 or 2 year reign with the console belt.
But what a year.
What a couple
what
of years.
What a year. We rebels enjoyed our time in the sun.
I don't know. I'm looking at Alien Storm, and it's like, I don't know. I think I'd rather just play Streets of Rage.
Yeah, there's no aliens in Streets of Rage, okay? There's no robots. There's no bugs.
Also, you said you get a buster, like Men in Black style. What are you talking about? Wouldn't a better analogy or comparison would have been Ghostbusters? I mean, that's a huge, obvious wordplay joke there. You went straight for Men in Black because of the aliens.
No, I went for straight for Men in Black because in Men in Black, they have guns that kill, and Ghostbusters, their busters just contain.
But they're busters.
So it's a little bit of wordplay. What do you want me to say?
Buster? Something funnier than what you say. That's what I want you to say.
Jeez Louise. Holy cow.
I like laughing when other people talk, not like rolling my eyes at them and groaning like, oh, jeez, Hunter.
Did you guys know that when Knuckles Chaotic was released, it was $70?
Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, it's a great game, but man, $70?
I think it's still that price if you get it in the box.
Probably.
Joe Walker, can we just agree that either of us would rather play Streets of Rage or Golden Axe over Alien Buster?
Yes.
But there's no aliens in any of those games.
Why do you need aliens in your
games?
Why
don't you need aliens in your games?
My game has robots, so I'm covered on the two-syllable coolness noun factor there.
Yep.
Well, my game has robots and monsters and
not really,
devils.
No.
Holy cow. Look what I found. Sega CD.
It does not
panic.
Have holy cows.
Level select at the title screen. If you press right, down, up, left, right, up, left, down, a scene select screen will appear if you did the trick correctly. Select scene 120 to see the game's ending. How weird is that?
Wow. How topical.
So weird. Yeah,
thanks,
there's nothing
game
in here for your crappy game, Bailey. I'm sorry. I wish there was.
Okay. I have the Nintendo Power issue that has the code to unlock Booger Man in Clay Fighter Sculptor's Cut.
Oh, yes, Booger Man.
Congratulations. Your game still sucks.
No, not really. I mean, my game is basically, you know how in Donkey Kong and Pitfall, two very influential classic games, they're static, like the screen doesn't scroll? In Lode Runner, it does.
Was that a big thing at the time, though? Like, was that a huge, you know what I mean? Like, was that...
Huge. Enormous. Enormous.
Was it?
Without Lode Runner, there would be no Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, that's for shit.
Oh, come on now. I didn't realize that you were building a house of lies.
Without Lode Runner, babies would still be hatched.
Well, at least
eggs.
In my game, there's not a button that makes a lawnmower destroy the house of lies that I've built, unlike yours, Joe Walker.
What? Why are you so defensive about this house? Like, did your family build that house?
Well, it's just I thought... Whoa, Jason's gone. Finally, we can go one episode without mentioning a lawnmower game. And Joe Walker
brings...
So wait,
let me ask another question.
A lawnmower
panic.
Game.
So
no, Hunter, Hunter,
scene...
Hunter. Just for a change of pace, ask me the question about panic.
Bailey, I don't want to talk about your crappy adventure.
No, ask him about panic.
No, ask me about panic.
But you don't know anything about panic.
Just ask.
Okay, Bailey.
What's up?
When you're playing Panic and you get to the scene, does it just automatically run or can you influence what the outcome is?
Well, it provides the illusion of influence with the button selection, but in reality, no. So you have it.
Joe Walker, is that correct?
When you go to a new scene, the little button, like it's a different button kind of configuration for each stage. There'll be a different array of buttons, and like you click one, and then the animation will play, and then when the animation is done, it will go back to that and let you pick another button.
That's a very good way of disguising exactly what I just
said. You can't influence the outcome of what happens in the scene. It's like you're essentially rolling a die or flipping a coin.
Well, I mean, yeah, until you, like, you memorize what all the buttons are, like which ones are the gags and which one actually moves you to the next stage.
So you're basically playing a game of Match, which I don't think is really a game, but I could be wrong.
Now, Joe Walker.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask me a question about Alien Hunter, just for this to be
Alien fun. Storm.
So when we're playing Men and Busters on the Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Just how boring is it?
No, that's not fair. It's not.
Now, Joe Walker, what are you talking about? Alien Thunderstorm is not boring at all. It is so exciting. I only yawn two or three times throughout its duration. Now, to make this completely fair and bring it full circle, I will ask me a question
about Load Runner.
So, Bailey,
don't answer yourself,
please. Are
you sure
Load Runner is as classic of a game as you say it is?
Is it?
Yes. It is more pervasive, if not more so, than games like Lemmings or those other early puzzle games that were on every computer in America. It's one of those legendary games that time has kind of let a lot of mainstream players forget about, which I don't blame them, that's fine, but its influence really can be seen across all the generations to come. It's a wonderful game.
I don't buy it.
It's not for sale, so whatever.
Just saying. I don't buy it. That's all I'm saying.
When you said Load Runner, the only thing that popped into my head was 3D World Runner, and that's not the same game.
No, because that game's really good.
It looks better.
Man, it's got the 3D effect. Why did you bring that game, Bailey?
That's really innovative and groundbreaking and senselessly influenced for a lot of games that came after.
One of the first endless runner games? Play our games. Come on. Gosh.
So basically, we have 3D World Runner, we have Men in Black for Game Boy Color, and then we have The Greatness That Is Panic. Those are the three games.
I mean, it sounds a little off.
I don't think Panic at the Disco is that good. I think you're overrating.
It is Panic with an exclamation point.
It is.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Panic!
Right.
It was actually, it's called Switch in Japan, and it was almost called Haywire when it came out here, but they changed the name towards the end of the localization.
Why couldn't they just change the game?
Oh, yeah, because Panic is much better.
They did change the game. They took out a couple of stages, unfortunately.
Did they leave the boob stage in, though?
They did. They took out a stage that was a Japanese typewriter, and they took out a stage that was a cigarette vending machine, but they left the stage where Slap
Western
gets his
culture.
Entire body covered
smoking
with boobs.
Smoking out.
Hey, man. Boobs. That's Sega for you. What's
that's
this have? Japanese characters and cigarettes?
Rise
no,
of
no.
America.
Keep the boobs, but no. Let's take out the Japanese
no.
characters and the cigarette machines.
Who needs
crazy.
A typewriter?
We need
Can
more
we
boobs.
Can throw more boobs in?
Yeah, he gets them like on his arms, on his face. Like they're all over.
Sega fans love the toad and the boobs.
I feel like boobs all over your body would be very...
Probably be very detrimental to your health as well.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't mean to alarm you, but Jason Lamb is in the chat right now.
Time to end the show.
he's pulling a bee. Oh, no. That's no good. It's never a good idea to do what Eric Bailey does. That's never...
No.
That's why I bring good games to the showdown.
Wow.
Wait, you didn't bring Alien Storm.
Final argument. Final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for Men in Black?
You should vote for Jason.
Oh, gosh. Okay, actually, I will say, Hunter, I loved your intro. We opened by just saying, I hate aliens, robots, and bugs. That was, you are the intro master.
Thanks.
Just so you know.
Dude, that rant about sand a few weeks ago was the funniest thing.
Big bags of sand.
Now, Joe Walker, why should anyone vote for your barely interactive, not quite a game?
Because you can't vote for Jason. But no, because it's a great game. There's never been anything like it. And if you want to know more, you should play it. You thought I was going to plug my show, but I didn't.
What show, Joe Walker?
Yes, you did.
Well, I didn't do it again.
But what show?
No, go ahead. That was a good time.
That's The Backlog with Joe Walker, featured on OneMoreCastle.com.
Yes! So good.
Episode 11, so good. Panic for the Sega CD.
You can always plug your show when it's on my website. I
mean, whoa, somebody's pulling rank here. Jeez. It's on my website.
You should vote for Load Runner on Commodore 64, because I think I could have made a decent argument for the NES. But when Hudson did the port, they insisted on making the enemies look like Bomberman. Kind of funny. But the animation's not as smooth. Some of the pixel-perfect mystique and calculation is missed out on. The C64 version is definitive. It's really tight, challenging, fun gameplay for those people who like things like Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle, or Dash Galaxy the Alien Asylum, or Donkey Kong, or Mario Brothers.
Whoa.
Or Legend of Zelda.
No.
Or Castlevania.
Not Super Mario, but just Mario.
Or Halo.
I mean, you know, those classic.
Half-Life.
Rock Band.
DDR.
Pet Rock Band.
Influenced by Lode Runner on the Commodore 64.
Loads of fun.
If you guys ever played Grand Theft Auto, that was influenced by Lode
Runner.
There you
go. It was.
I could make a case that it was. Not tonight. Maybe the next time we talk. But it definitely was. Just so you know. And that's the showdown. So thanks for watching, live stream viewers and later video watchers. Thanks for listening. Please remember to go to the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com and vote for your favorite of the three games. Leave comments as well. All you need is like a Twitter account, basically. You don't even need that, actually. But leave comments. And just to plug a couple things, Review a Great Game Day is April 8th, which by the time you hear this is really coming right up. So get those reviews done and be ready to submit them live on site. April 8th, Review a Great Game Day at reviewagreatgameday.com. Also, we, the podcast hosts, me, Hunter, and Jason, are going to be at Indie PopCon, which is an event held in Indianapolis, Indiana, May 30th through June 1st. We hope to see you there because we're going to have an awesome time. And thank you to those who tuned in to the live stream and left comments. I want to give a shout out to Jason Lamb, Jonathan, not even going to try your last name tonight, Lisa Robinson, Captain Knucklehead, Maria Eugenia Burbano. Hello to you. Valerie Minnick. And, Prince Jureski, good to see you back. Mega Silver X. All of you. There's even someone in Arabic characters I don't know how to pronounce. So thank you so much for watching and commenting. Much appreciated. Every Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central is when it tends to air. Hunter, any shout-outs, plugs, reminders from yourself?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericm.com. You can check out my other podcast, Breaking Bits, at officialbghc.com. That's it. That's all I got. But for Alien Storm.
Cool. Joe Walker. Anything else you'd like to add?
All right. Well, I am Joe Walker, and you can check out my show about cheap and obscure retro games, The Backlog with Joe Walker, on onemorecastle.com, or subscribe on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/pkbloggin. And my Twitter shout out, well, I guess you can follow me on Twitter at Space Kappa, but my Twitter shout out is going to be for Mr. Jason Lamb.
So, what does PK stand for in PK blogging?
It's from Earthbound.
PK Fire!
I gave up. I gave
PK
up.
PK blogging!
Cool. Thanks, Joe.
Bailey gets it. No problem.
Joe Walker is quickly becoming the best thing to happen.
Wow.
Check him out if you haven't.
That's high praise.
Hey, he said he valued my opinion earlier. I think he's drunk.
A quick reminder, we are actually running out of listener email discussion questions. We only have a couple weeks left. So that email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. Please send your questions in because we answer them. So that's your big opportunity. Preferably something with retro gaming, but even if not, and last but not least, remember, you are a bad enough dude for the rest of your life. See you next week!